The title of my message I've been given today is something that we should all keep in mind, really. It's probably the most, well, I'd say it is the most important words that we could apply to our own lives right now, in this time, in this era that we live in, when there's so much uncertainty. I've called my message today, Remembering Christ. Remembering Christ. In John 15:13, we read, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For his friends. Let's have a short word of prayer, and then we'll get into the meat of the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you so much that you have permitted me, Lord, to deliver this message. You laid it on my heart, Lord. And now I hope, I pray, Lord, that the people who hear it, that their hearts would be open to it, Lord, and receptive to what is said here today. Lord God, we know there are many precious souls out there that just need your attention, Lord, and are not quite sure how to go about it, and they're led astray sometimes. I pray, Lord, that before this message is done, Lord, that precious souls will be won over to thee. You be lifted up, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Remembering Christ, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. Yes, he is. He's talking about himself, of course. People give their lives for Christ. It's the only way, really. I mean, after all, he gave his life for us, didn't he? Now, I'm not saying to go out and jump in front of a bus and say, that's for you, Jesus. No, let's not get silly about it. Giving our lives to Christ is living by his word, doing the things he wants us to do, and casting aside all that impotence and all that bad conduct that we've shown in the past, separating ourselves unto Christ, who paid the supreme price at Calvary. Oh, yes. What a Savior. What a Savior, I'm telling you. In John 15:14, we read, Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And in chapter 14, verse 15, we read, If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, if we really love Jesus, we'll try and keep his commandments, won't we? I know we're still in the flesh and we come short. But Lord God, he knows your heart. He knows if you try, and he knows everything about us. Soldiers who go to war, you know, are made to believe that these very scriptures are talking about them. And if they give their lives, then they will go to heaven. If they give their lives in battle, they will go to heaven. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, unless you're saved, I'm not saying saved from a bomb or a gunshot wound. Unless you're saved, unless you are a born-again Christian who believes fully in the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he died for the sins of the whole world, shedding his precious blood at Calvary's cross, and then rose again on the third day. Don't leave that out. Unless you truly believe in your heart that this is true, then you could die 1,000 deaths doing great and noble deeds throughout your entire life in war or in peace, and still go straight to hell. if you never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the sad commentary of it all. All glory and honor and praise belongs to Jesus Christ. He's the true one, the one who laid down his life. If you by faith believe this, then eternity in heaven will be yours. Oh, yes. Yes, it is. There's no other way. There's no other way. Yes, we have wars, of course. We have to fight, and we're facing the greatest onslaught of the enemy that the world has ever known, with radical Islam around every corner, it would seem. ISIS moving in, taking over, instilling their laws on the people. I don't understand it. The Lord must be allowing this to happen because our governments invite them to come in. Well, I agree with helping the women and the children who are not responsible for the chaos in the world today. But what about these able-bodied men? There's more of them involved than there is any other. And yet, they only come here to do us harm. That's all they do. Why don't they stay home? I remember when I was in the military, they gave me a rifle and said, go, you're going to fight for your country. Now, they don't give them rifles to go fight for their country. They shouldn't have to leave their country. They should stand and fight for what they believe in, their own land, not come here and try to take ours away. I'm sorry I got off there on another track, but it just bothers me so much when I hear of little children being abused, raped, and even killed. Oh, Lord, please come quickly, please. We have wars, yeah. We have fights. We have problems of our own that we have to resolve. Every country has them. You know, but it's the only sacrifice that reaches beyond the grave, and that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. None remain in the grave or the sea, nor does cremation hide them from God. You can't hide from God. You can't. In life or in death, there's no hiding from God. We will all, I mark my words, we will all stand before God. Before either the great white throne judgment or the Bema seat, which is the other judgment for the saved. I urge you, think on these things. All the good deeds or great sacrifices you could ever do will not get you to heaven. It won't. Only what's done for Christ will last. Please understand that. Every one of us, man, woman, child, is born under a curse. Did you know that? Yes, we are. The curse of Adam's sin. It is a curse that can never be broken, not by man, but it is a curse that will depart from every one of us who believes by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, guaranteed that He, being sent by God the Father, came to this sin-cursed earth and suffered and bled and died for the sins of the whole world. And He rose again on the third day. Believe with all your heart and believe with all your soul, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. In today's world, all the good deeds you get, all the good deeds you do is you get just a pat on the back. Well done, Charlie. Good job there, Fred. Oh, well done. Yeah. Well done. And you never think about the road to hell, how it's paved with well done's. Yes, it is. But the narrow road which leads to heaven's gates, it's paved with the saving blood of Jesus Christ. It is indeed. Did you know we have a dual identity? We do. One is spiritual and the other, of course, is physical. These are two different identities. When we die, the physical, of course, goes to the grave. But the spiritual, if you believe in Christ, goes to be with the Lord. The moment you close your eyes in death, you will open them again in the presence of Almighty God. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, yes. Many of our brave men and women, well, they've sacrificed their physical being, fighting for freedom, fighting for peace, fighting for lands, fighting for what they believe to be righteous. But there is only one who suffered and died for the very soul of man. And that one is Jesus Christ. Yes, it is Jesus Christ. And where the soul goeth, one day the body will follow, but it will be changed like unto his glorious body. My dad and his brother, they fought in the Second World War, and then again in Korea. And when the fighting broke out on the Isle of Cyprus, my dad was there too, and so was I, and so was my brother, and so was my cousin. Our pictures were in front page papers all over the news, all over Canada. I wasn't saved then, and I loved the attention. When Jesus suffered and died on that cruel cross at Calvary, he was no hero to the people. They mocked him. They scourged him. They beat him and spat upon him and tore open his flesh and pulled out his beard. And then they nailed him to that cruel wooden cross and just stood there and mocked him and watched him die. If you were Jesus, come down from that cross. Oh, how it troubles my soul when I ever think of that. When a brave soldier dies on the battlefield, he has given his life for the cause of our freedom. That you cannot deny. When Jesus the Christ died upon Calvary's tree, he gave his life for freedom also. Freedom from our worst enemy. That being, of course, the consequences of sin, which is death and eternal suffering in the lake of fire. Now, because your sacrifice in a theater of war, your country may give you a medal or put your picture in the paper. You may even be a national hero. But unless you are a born-again child of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, your body and your soul will suffer eternal torment in the hell, the hellfire. That's where the real torment is. Oh, how it pains me to say that, but it's true. It's true. Yes, war truly is hell upon earth, but it cannot be compared to the hell that's within the earth. Do you get that? The hell where lost souls go. Don't go there. Don't, please. I beg of you, you don't have to. No, you can't take away from the great sacrifices made on our behalf in all the great wars, and neither should we. And you can't take away from the greatest sacrifice of all, the bleeding, suffering Christ on the cross at Calvary. When the great war was ended, the street bands in their numbers danced and sang songs like "When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again, Hurrah, Hurrah." The streets and the roadsides were packed with people, onlookers, welcoming them home. Oh, yes, it was a great time of rejoicing indeed, but that would be short-lived. Oh, it's so sad. There was reveling, there was partying, but there was drinking too for days on end. But when Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world, had his flesh open to the bone by the lash of the whip, the crowds that lined the streets on that day cheered the executioner for a job well done. You understand that? When an angry spectator broke free from the jeering crowd to place a crown of thorns on the brow of the King of Kings, the taunting cries of the lost souls began to chant, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Oh my, how terrible it must have been. And he did it all for you. He did it all for me. He did it all for the sin-cursed earth. When they reached the summit of Golgotha, there was a momentary lull in the crowd's rejoicing, but only so they could hear the spikes, steel spikes being hammered through the Savior's flesh, fastening him to the blood-soaked cross, the blood-soaked cross. There were no flashbulbs from the news media. There was no YouTube account, no Toronto Star or Globe and Mail, no. As the King of Kings hung there on that cruel cross, the crowds had begun to suddenly fall silent. Yes, as the Spirit of God walked among them, pointing the finger of death. Oh, Mary and John, they lie weeping at the foot of the cross, and the droplets of sacrificial blood flowed into the dust of Golgotha, flowed into the dust. It was finished. Never to be repeated. Never. There were no accolades. There were no fine speeches to be heard. Not even a funeral. And yet the sacrifice by one man on that one day, thousands of years ago, was the greatest sacrifice for mankind that could ever be made. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. There were no cannons firing a 21-gun salute in the distance. No. There were no fireworks to light up the darkened sky. No. It was finished. It was finished. The Savior was dead. He bore our sins. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he openeth not his mouth. Oh, legions of angels stood at the ready to intervene. But they were never called. If they had, we would be without hope. If they had taken them before the time was right. My friends, my brothers and sisters even, the many warriors who come forth from the loins of men are aptly remembered for their sacrifice. Every one of them on the scarred battlefields of the earth. Oh, yes. And rightly so. But the greatest warrior of them all, who was begotten of God, stepped into the breach not only for family and friends, not only for the righteous or the unrighteous, but for every living soul that walketh upon the face of the earth. Yes, he did. On our Veterans Remembrance Day, yes, it is proper to recall our brave young men and women. But I implore you, do not forget do not forget the greatest sacrifice of all. Jesus is his name. Jesus is his name, lest we forget. Where will you be on Remembrance Day? Will you be standing there like all the others, remembering a lost loved one which was a result of a war in some forgotten land? But will you also be able to think about him being in glory? Him or her, whomever. Will you be able to satisfy your thoughts and in your heart knowing that your son, your daughter, was a Christian, was a believer in Jesus Christ? Oh, I pray you will. My dad's gone. I don't know where he is. My brother's gone. My cousin's gone. I don't know where they're gone. All I know is that I witnessed to them and they did not listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that tears the soul right out of me. But one day, if they are there, I'll meet them again. I don't know what happened since I last saw them. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. My fate, not because I did anything different than what Christ asked me to do. My fate is sealed. And when that day comes, I shall look upon his face. Look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Oh, I want to thank you for listening. And I pray this message has been a blessing to you. And I pray you will pass it on to others that they may hear it as well. Lord God, I thank you. Lord God, be praised. Everything that Jesus did upon this earth, he did to glorify your mighty name. And I am so pleased, I am so glad that I became a part of that work, Lord. Not by things that I had done, but by things that I believed. And that believing began at the cross. And I know that if I were to leave this world, even this very moment, that I would open my eyes in the presence of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I pray this is the way you all feel, and I pray this will be your ending. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray and ask these mercies. Amen.